This is Audible.
This is a copyrighted work. Unauthorized copying or distribution is a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000.
Scholastic Audio presents Sunrise on the Reaping, a Hunger Games novel by Suzanne Collins, read by Jefferson White. For Richard Register. All propaganda is lies, even when one is telling the truth. I don't think this matters so long as one knows what one is doing and why. George Orwell. A truth that's told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent. William Blake. Nothing appears more surprising to those who consider human affairs with a philosophical eye than the easiness with which the many are governed by the few, and the implicit submission with which men resign their own sentiments and passions to those of their rulers. When we inquire by what means this wonder is effected, we shall find that as force is always on the side of the governed, the governors have nothing to support them but opinion. It is therefore on opinion only that government is founded. And this maxim extends to the most despotic and most military governments, as well as to the most free and most popular. David Hume. That the sun will not rise tomorrow is no less intelligible a proposition and implies no more contradiction than the affirmation that it will rise. David Hume. Part 1. The Birthday. Chapter 1.
Happy birthday, Haymitch!
The upside of being born on Reaping Day is that you can sleep late on your birthday. It's pretty much downhill from there. A day off school hardly compensates for the terror of the name drawing. Even if you survive that, nobody feels like having cake after watching two kids being hauled off to the Capitol for slaughter. I roll over and pull the sheet over my head.
Happy birthday!
My 10-year-old brother Sid gives my shoulder a shake.
You said be your rooster. You said you wanted to get to the woods at daylight.
It's true. I'm hoping to finish my work before the ceremony, so I can devote the afternoon to the two things I love best, wasting time and being with my girl, Lenore Dove. My mom makes indulging in either of these a challenge, since she regularly announces that no job is too hard or dirty or tricky for me, and even the poorest people can scrape up a few pennies to dump their misery on somebody else. But given the dual occasions of the day, I think she'll allow for a bit of freedom, as long as my work is done. It's the game makers who might ruin my plans.
Hey, Mitch,
wails Sid.
The sun's coming up!
All right, I'm up too. I roll straight off the mattress onto the floor and pull on a pair of shorts made from a government-issued flour sack. The words, courtesy of the Capitol, end up stamped across my butt. My ma wastes nothing. Widowed young, when my pa died in a coal mine fire, she's raised Sid and me by taking in laundry and making every bit of anything count. The hardwood ashes in the fire pit are saved for lye soap. Eggshells get ground up to fertilize the garden. Someday these shorts will be torn into strips and woven into a rug. I finish dressing and toss Sid back in his bed, where he burrows right down in the patchwork quilt. In the kitchen, I grab a piece of cornbread, an upgrade for my birthday instead of the gritty dark stuff made from the Capitol flour. Out back, my ma's already stirring a steaming kettle of clothes with a stick, her muscles straining as she flips a pair of miner's overalls. She's only 35. But life's sorrows have already cut lines into her face, like they do. Ma catches sight of me in the doorway and wipes her brow. Happy 16th. Sauce on the stove. Thanks, Ma. I find a saucepan of stewed plums and scoop some on my bread before I head out. I found these in the woods the other day, but it's a nice surprise to have them all hot and sugared.